Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. The period of the Babylonian captivity is a watershed era in the history of Israel. These people had been the covenant people of God for over 800 years. They had been a world-class power under Saul, David, and Solomon, but had begun a steady decline after Solomon's death in 931 BC. Any hope of regaining such prominence seemed lost when the Babylonians took control of the region in 605 BC. The people of Judah were taken to Babylon in three deportations. The first in 605 BC included Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, along with other key people. The second in 597 BC involved some 10,000 Jews, including Ezekiel the prophet. The final deportation came after Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 BC and included all but a small number of those who survived the siege. Ezekiel was called to be a prophet on the fifth of the month in the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's exile, Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 2, which would have been about 592 BC. As God's prophet to the exiles, Ezekiel was tasked initially with conveying the bad news that Jerusalem would fall and that the captivity would be lengthy. Perhaps the most difficult aspect of Ezekiel's ministry was having his beloved wife die as a sign of the destruction of Jerusalem. Even though she was the delight of his eyes, he was not allowed to publicly mourn her. This signified how the exiles would mourn the loss of Jerusalem and the temple of God. Later on, Ezekiel received an incredible vision, which promised the restoration of the nation to the Promised Land. That vision is recorded in Ezekiel chapter 37, and we call it the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. The first part of the vision is found in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 6. These words are written there. "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. And it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord." Now at the time that Ezekiel and those with him were taken into captivity in Babylon, there was still hope among the exiles that they might return to Jerusalem soon. The city and temple were still intact, and there was still a Jewish king on the throne, even though he was little more than a vassal under the Babylonian king. For 9 years they anticipated their release, and then God revealed to them that Jerusalem was under siege and would definitely fall. In the 11th year of their captivity, the city walls were breached and the city was burned. Word of this destruction and the arrival of more captives plunged them into despair. From a human perspective, there seemed to be no hope for God's people. It was in this context that the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones occurred. The Lord had already begun to bring a word of encouragement to the captivities in chapter 36 by saying that he would once again bless the land from which they had been driven. In Ezekiel 36, verses 8 through 11, he said, "But you, O mountains of Israel, you will put forth your branches and bear your fruit for my people Israel, for they will soon come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you will be cultivated and sown. I will multiply men on you, all the house of Israel, all of it, and the cities will be inhabited, and the waste places will be rebuilt. I will multiply on you man and beast, and they will increase and be fruitful. And I will cause you to be inhabited as you were formerly, and will treat you better than at the first. Thus you will know that I am the Lord." Now the Lord did not restrict his comments simply to the land, however. In verses 24 through 28, he spoke directly to the captives themselves. He said, "For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people, and I will be your God." Now, in spite of the Lord's words of encouragement, the people were still in despair. We can understand why this might have been the case, because they had totally forsaken God leading up to the captivity. Having turned their backs on Him, they had no basis on which to trust His word or take heart from it. This is why the Lord prepared this dramatic vision for Ezekiel. Standing amid these scattered bones, Ezekiel was unwilling even to venture an answer to the Lord's question of whether they could live. Surely the Lord's prophet should have been able to envision God doing whatever He chose to do with these bones. Surely he should have been able to affirm that they could live, since it was God who was asking him. But even Ezekiel wavered by saying, "O Lord God, you know." If God's prophet was uncertain, how much more so the people? Nevertheless, Ezekiel prophesied as God had commanded him, and an amazing sight unfolded before him. In Ezekiel 37, verses 7 through 10, the scriptures say, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they come to life.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army." Now in this vision, Ezekiel had seen the impossible take place. He was not looking at the corpses of men who had just died in battle. He was looking at bones that had lain in the sun for so long that there was absolutely no hope that any life remained in them. There was no way that they could come back to life again. But then, at the command of God, they were returned to what they had once been, a living, breathing army of exceptional size. For Ezekiel and anyone else who might hear of this vision, this was demonstrative proof that the God of Israel was capable of doing whatever He wished. More than this, it was proof that God could indeed bring about the restoration of His people to their land and to their proper worship of Him and Him alone. Having shown Ezekiel this great vision, God took His prophet the next step by explaining what the vision meant. In verses 11 through 14, the scriptures continue with these words. "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord." So as the Lord explained it, the people of Israel were in such despair in their captivity that they thought of themselves as being dead, beyond all hope. But as the Lord explained it, they would experience a resurrection of sorts, because He was not going to leave them in their sorry condition. The whole purpose of this vision was to demonstrate that with the Lord nothing is impossible. And as dead as they felt in captivity, they would be fully alive when the time came to bring them back to the promised land. There was one other important element to this great vision. In verse 6, God said that he was going to restore the dry bones to life so that they, the dry bones, would know that he is the Lord. In verse 14, he restated this in slightly different words, but the point was the same. The Jews would know that their restoration was the work of God and of no one else. When the years that God had ordained for their captivity were concluded, God did raise his people from the dead, as it were, and restored them to their land. The upshot of the experience was that God's people never again fell into idolatry. They universally refused to acknowledge any other God but the Lord, who had turned them into a living, breathing nation after they had been nothing but dry bones. They had learned their lesson, albeit the hard way. Now, as we consider this vision in our own time and in our own circumstances, we also learn a valuable lesson from it. We know from Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know from Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. So just as the Jews of the captivity were dead like the valley of dry bones due to their sins, we also are likewise dead in our sins before we obey the gospel. Sometimes, though, one whose life is characterized by sin may become so burdened with despair that he thinks that he is beyond all hope. And perhaps you've known of people like this, whose sins were so bad, whose lives have been so terrible, they just feel like there's nothing that can be done to turn them back to God. But the truth of the scripture is that the Lord who raised the valley of dry bones can also raise the penitent believer from his dead condition, no matter how terrible a life he may have lived. As long as we are physically alive, and as long as our heart can still be touched by the gospel, we can be restored to the place that our Lord God wants us to be. But it is up to each individual to decide if he will avail himself of this restoration, of the salvation that God has planned for him. No matter how deeply one has been involved in sin, no matter how long he has been separated from God, spiritually dead, like that valley of dry bones, if he believes that Jesus is the Son of God, if he turns away from his sin and confesses his faith in Jesus Christ, and if he is baptized to wash away his sins according to the Scriptures, he will be saved. His dry bones will come back to life, and what a life they will come back to. A life as a member of the family of God, washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, added and adopted into the family of God with a hope for eternal life, a place being prepared in heaven for him. His dry spiritual bones can come back to eternal life by obedience to the gospel. As we consider the things that we've studied together today, are you like that valley of dry bones because of your sins? If you're outside of Christ, if you're living according only to your own desires and not according to the will of God, you're like that valley of dry bones. You are dead. You are separated from God. You have no hope. But if you will repent and if you will obey God's commands, the promise of the Lord is that you will live. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.